Well, we're in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, and we're preaching during these days this series called My Son. Now, you don't want to miss next Sunday. If you've never read the fifth chapter of Proverbs and hear what Solomon said to my son in the fifth chapter, you read the fifth chapter, all right? Matter of fact, I have thought about asking one of the other staff members to teach next Sunday on the fifth chapter. It's all about lust and fornication and adultery. But if a daddy is not teaching his boy about physical temptation, he's done a disservice to his son. So buckle up next Sunday when we get in that fifth chapter, all right? Fourth chapter is no piece of cake. As Solomon says three times, verse 1, hear, my sons. Verse 10, hear, my son. But our text begins in verse 20, where he says the third time, my son. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed and straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. A message that I've entitled in this My Son series, Spiritual Anatomy. Spiritual Anatomy. I'm a biology minor, as I've shared with you many times from college. I love the sciences because you got to do stuff with your hands and blow stuff up. I always enjoyed the sciences. Zoology was always fun. Studied the animals. I remember when I was able to carve up a chinchilla in science class, and they let us cut that and put it. And my chinchilla was pregnant. I'll never forget it. I cut that, and here was all of that. And I thought, my goodness. I enjoyed that part. But when we came to the physical anatomy, and we studied the human body, it's amazing how amazing you are. From that brain, most people say weigh about 3 pounds, to all of the blood flow and how the heart pumps that out and it carries the oxygen and how it fights infection. Isn't it amazing that you can just say to yourself, lift your left foot, put your left foot down? Or you don't have to say it out loud. It's incredible. Your body is incredible. The way God made it. That he put those fingernails on there so that when you reach, you got a protection. How kids' heads are soft when they're early because they fall. And God makes us the knee. Isn't the knee amazing? The joints. Joints all in your body. Some of you have joints that others don't have. On this side, I don't have a joint, but on this side, I got an extra joint. Not on this side, I can't make it, but this one's got it. My grandchildren have this. Not both their parents. It's just weird. Gave you 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 tongue. That's going to come into play in this sermon here in a moment. Solomon takes us as we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he spiritualizes 5 parts of the body, and he teaches his son, get these things under control. And so I want us to look at those this morning. As a son is learning from a father, Solomon would be saying, give your whole life to Christ. Give all of yourself unto God and God alone. And then he begins to enumerate five parts. He could go on forever, but he gives us these five. So let's jump right in, and we see them as we learn from the parts of the body that Solomon taught to his son, and you should teach these to your children and your children's children. Number one, he deals with the ears in verses 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. We learned last Sunday that the word incline does not mean to go up an incline. It means to bow. Incline, that is to bow, to give, to submit your ear to what I'm telling you. Solomon says, turn your ears on and listen to what your daddy's telling you. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all of their body. My sayings, incline your ears. Listen to your father. When you go back to the first of the chapter, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction. Listen to your daddy. In verse number 10, hear, my son. And not just hear it, but accept it. Receive it, that what your father is saying to you is true. It's amazing in chapter 4 where he says, and I'm going to come back to this at the conclusion, but he said in verse 3, when I was a son to my father, Solomon says, listen to me, because when I was a son to my father, who was Solomon's father? David. I was tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Who was his mother? Bathsheba. He was the only child. Solomon. It was tender and she taught me. Oh, the tenderness. We never see that about Solomon. But he's the only child of his mother, and she's teaching, and the father's teaching. Chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, we see the same thing. My son, accept my sayings. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I've led you. So listen up. Fathers, listen to me. Daddies that are in this room, you have a responsibility to teach your children. You're to train them up in the way they should go. Now listen to me. Sons and daughters, but especially sons. Sons love their mothers, but they live for their fathers. Listen to me. Sons love their mamas, but they live for their daddy. Mother will discipline it, but I'm here to tell you, when a father speaks to a son doesn't even always love what he hears from his father, but he will live for him. It's man to man. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you got ears, I do. I got one big one and one regular one. I got one over here that hangs way out. And yes, my mother, she's here. She tried to tape it to my head when I was a kid because I kept sleeping. Sticks way out. You got ears? Sure you do. If you can hear, then listen. He that has ears, let him hear. That's not what it says. He that's got ears to hear, you can have ears but not have ears to hear. You can have ears, but not to hear. Turn your ears on. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 29. After the end of every letter to the churches in Revelation, the Spirit says, if you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. That's what Solomon's teaching. If you've got ears, listen to my words, but then also listen to what the Spirit of your Father in heaven would teach you. Listen up. Listen to your father. and daddy's be saying something that they will want to listen to. Listen. Number one, he says, use your ears. Secondly, then, he speaks to the heart, to the heart. In verse 23, he says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart symbolizes the center of one's innermost being. He says, watch over it. That is to keep your heart. It can literally be translated, guard your heart, or set a watchman at the door of your heart. Notice what he says, watch over your heart and watch over it with all diligence. That is to observe like a watchman, to set somebody at the door of your life, the center of who you are, and watch out. Watch out. It's amazing what will come into your heart if you don't set a watchman at the door of your heart. We're bombarded today. And you'll begin to believe things that are a lie if you don't set a watchman at the door. Watch with diligence. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 34 that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You brood of snakes, don't you understand? You ought to speak what's good. The mouth speaks out of what's in your heart. I'm telling you, what you're blabbing is not the issue. It's what you're taking in, because what you take in is what you'll blab out. Set a watch at your heart's door. Teach your children how to guard the door. Every night at our house, I get ready to go to bed, I lock three doors. I go to what I call the door in the den, lock it. I always run by the front door and I see if the bolts turn. And then I walk through the kitchen. And in the kitchen, the back door, it has a lock, but at the top, the previous owners put a bolt that goes over into a lock here, and you just flip it over and it goes down. Now, you probably get in my house easy, but I feel better when I set a watch. And then I have a camera at every corner. And then I have a couple of lights that catch movement. There are a lot of cats that run around my house. I don't have any cats anymore. I used to have cats. I don't have cats now. And all of a sudden, bam, that light will come on. We look out. If I don't see some two-legged guy running, I'm all right. There's a little white cat. There he goes. Oh, okay, he'll be fine. Why do we do all that? Well, we do it at our house. We all set a watch. With lights or cameras or doors or whatever. And then in the bedstand next to your bed, there's a drawer. And there's the tools of a watchman. Don't mess with my house. Let me tell you how to set a watch, because your heart is more important than your house. Set a watch. Guard your heart. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life. If you're going to have life, they're going to come out of your heart. Turn on your ears. Guard your heart. Thirdly, he says in this text, your mouth. Your mouth. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Notice what he says about the mouth. Put away a deceitful mouth. That word deceitful can be translated in the Hebrew crooked. Put away a crooked mouth. Put the devious speech. That's perverse speech. You don't just have to curse to be perverse. When you lie, you run people down, you tell a 40% truth. Be very careful with your mouth. Proverbs 16:12 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. One translation translates perverse faults. A worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a false mouth. You know people's got a false mouth? Sure you do. Because when they say something, y'all may say, well, you know, I got to kind of take that with a grain of... You better take it with like a pound of salt. And just be careful, because it's perverse. Careful with your mouth. Absalom, 2 Samuel 15:6. The Bible says Absalom, David, you remember David's son. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 6 that Absalom stole the heart of the people of Israel. How did he do it? The Bible said he leaned on the city gate, and as people came in and as they went out, oh Absalom, he said, you know, if I was a king, place old David, you get a better deal. If I sat in the king's seat, it wouldn't be like that. Let me tell you, things be better if old Absalom was the king. The Bible says that with his words, Absalom stole the heart of Israel. Be very careful with your mouth. What is in the well of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. Every time, what is in the well of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. Watch your heart. Put away that kind of speech. Is there any other way to translate put away in verse 24? Put away. Wonder how. Here's how you translate put away in modern Southern English. Shut up! Shut your pie hole! Well, wouldn't that be a great translation? Shut your pie hole from a deceitful mouth. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, beloved. The mouth has wrecked more institutions, more homes, more relationships, more churches, more associations, more work environments. But it's really not the mouth that's the issue. You see, the mouth just speaks because you don't put a guard on your heart. You got to guard your heart first. And when you guard your heart, your mouth will know when to engage and when not to engage. Boy, a word rightly spoken is like apples of silver and settings of gold. You ever have a good word come to you? Amen. I remember I was counseling an old boy one time about his church. This is way back. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, I got a guy. He's really upset with us. And he writes all this stuff. And he runs Xerox copies. And he stands out and he hands out stuff to people at the in the church and gives bad reports. I said, well, you need some deacons to handle that. You need to deal with that. See, he wasn't talking, but he was talking. It's words. It's words. They're so powerful, whether they're written or typed or passed out or spoken. Guard your heart, but shut your mouth. That's what Solomon's saying to his son. Be careful about what you say. Turn on your ears. Guard your heart. Close your mouth. The fifth is in verse 25, and that's your eyes. Your eyes. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Oh, yeah. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Oh, my goodness. Look directly ahead. Get your gaze fixed. It's your vision. What you got your eyes on today? Got your eyes on the prize? The prize is the Lord Jesus. His name is Charles Blondin. You may have heard of Charles Blondin. Middle 1800s, Blondin was a French daredevil. He worked in a circus, and he walk the tightrope. And when they brought the French circus to America, they came to Niagara Falls. And Blondine said, "Wow, I have found my place in history." And Charles Blondine stretched a rope from one side of Niagara Falls to the other. And he walked the rope. There he is, with that pole. Then he did it with a guy on his back. Then he did it with a wheelbarrow. When he got to the other side, everybody said, "Whoo, wow, that's amazing." Blondine said, "How many of you think I can push this wheelbarrow back to the other side with somebody riding in it?" They all said, "Yes." And he said, "Who'll get in?" One guy did, and he pushed him to the other side. See, there's a lot of you today believe God could take you to heaven, but you won't get in a wheelbarrow. Blondine was asked, "How did you ever learn to walk that rope?" And this is what he said. He said, "In the early days, I placed a silver star on the other side of the precipice that I was going to pass." And he said, "I never took my eye off of that silver star. And it kept me focused to get across." He said, "If I looked at the rope, I'd fall. But," he said, "I kept my eye on the star." Let me tell you, friend, that's what every daddy's got to teach his son. If you're going to traverse through this world, you got to keep your eye on the star, the bright morning star. He is Jesus, the very Son of God. Keep your eye fixed. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12 and verse number 2, "Fix your eyes on who? Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, of course, endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down at the right hand of the Father." Keep your eyes on him. Look to Jesus. Jesus himself said in Luke 9 and verse 62, "He that put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Dear friend, keep your eye in the right direction. Keep your eye on Christ. Don't be looking over here, over yonder, a little bit, looking a thousand. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a decision about that. There was a gentleman who did a story in a local town newspaper. He found a man who was an alcoholic. And he went and asked him in that small town, he said, "Why have you not been able to overcome?" He said, "I had no choice. My father was an alcoholic. And I just did what my father did." Then the man went and interviewed the mayor of that little town. He said to him, "How have you..." He said, "Well, my father was an alcoholic." He said, "I learned to keep my eyes not on his problem, but on God himself." And when the man finished the story, he comes to find out these two men are brothers. They have the same father. One said, "I can't do anything but what my daddy did." The other said, "I learned to fix my gaze on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he changed my life." Fix your eyes. Turn your ears on. Guard your heart. Close your mouth. Fix your eyes. And the last body illustration is in verses 26 and 27, and that's your feet. Your feet. Notice what he said. "Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil." Son, this is the way you walk. Walk this way. I want to ask you this morning, where are you walking? You walk in God's way? Don't quit. You walk in the world's way? You walk in your way? I did an experiment this week. I tuned my radio in my car to a country station. And every time I got in it, I hit the on button and I started counting. And it was 1001, 1002. And I only started counting when a song came on. If they were in commercial or anything, but when a song came on, I never got to 30 seconds that I didn't hear a country song mention alcohol. I'm not saying they all do. I'm just saying all they played this week do. In my car. On an FM radio station. At point something. Let me tell you, if you're grinding that in your life all the time, I don't care if it's country or rock or whatever you, I'm just telling you, if you got that pulsating in your life all the time, whatever it is they're singing is what you're probably going to be doing. You need to guard your heart and turn on your ears, because it'll affect your feet. And you'll find yourself not going God's way, but going the world's way or going your own way. You see, once you choose God's path, do not turn your foot to evil. Don't do it. Walk God's way. Walk in the light, John 8, 12. Walk in humility, Micah 6, 8. Walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 4. Walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Ephesians 5, 15. Walk in wisdom. Walk, walk, walk God's way. Let's go. Let's walk God's way. Let's go. Get on the path and let's go. Now you got your Bible. I want you to do something here. I want you to turn back over to chapter, we're in chapter 4, look in verses 3 and 4. Now, I read this to you and told you I was going to quit here. When I was a son, Solomon said, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, so Bathsheba, he's his only child. Then he, that is David, taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words and keep my commandments and live. Where did that happen? Well, take your Bible. It's not coming up on the screen. Take your Bible, hang a left. I want to show you this. Go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let's all go there. 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. Look at this. I couldn't believe it when I found this. So David is raising Solomon up to be the king. And David wanted to build the temple, but God said, no. You got blood on your hands, you can't do it, but your son's got to do it. So in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 5, David said, my son, where's Solomon get? He got it from his daddy. Where did he get this phrase, my son, my son, my son? He got it from his father. David said, my son, Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built, the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious to all the land. Therefore, now I'll make preparation for it. Verse 7. David said to Solomon, what did he say? My son, I had intended to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, but and then God tells him he couldn't do it. Then verse 11. David says, now, my son, the Lord be with you. And then verse 13, Lord, I'm about to have a running spell right here. Then you shall prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. And here is what he commanded. My son, my son, my son, don't ever forget this. My son, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed. Let me tell you, Daddy, if you'll pour that in your son, he'll stand like a rock when all hell comes against him. But if he sees you backing up and going the wrong way and giving in to temptation, he'll do the same. But if you'll stand and you'll teach him, my son, be strong, be courageous. Don't fear and don't be dismayed, because the Lord our God, he's going to see you through. Amen. My son Solomon. Solomon grew to be the wisest man. He said, how in the world has Solomon been the wisest man, all those ladies he had around him? I got to take that up with the Holy Ghost when I get to heaven. The wisdom that poured through Solomon started. He said, well, Pastor, I just don't think I'm worthy. Hey, listen to me. You think David was worthy? God wouldn't even let him build a house. Why? Because he had blood on his hands. He had been disobedient. The woman that he had birthed Solomon with started out in a murderous, adulterous affair. What I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you are. If you'll go running to God, his grace covers a multitude of sins, and he will say to you, you are my son, now you go raise up your son. There are no perfect fathers in the world. Not one. And if you find one that says they are, you've just found one that's not, because they just lied to you. God takes broken stuff and puts it together and uses it for his good and his glory. That's what he did with David, and he raised up Solomon. And now Solomon is writing, and he's saying, my son, my son. If you don't get anything in the world out of this series, get this in your head. If you've got a son, love him. Train him. Encourage him. Discipline him. Call him to accountability. My son, Brother Keith, is 32 days from graduating from law school. 32 days. I called him up last night. Sent him a text to start with, said, how you doing? He said, please pray for me. These next 5 weeks are going to be the hardest weeks. And I called him. I said, what's going on? He said, well, I got to get this done, and I got to go do that. And he's in a bunch of extracurricular law activities. He's not playing softball or doing that. I mean, he's in trial team and this deal over here. And he said, I just got a bunch coming at me, and then finals come. And he said, then I got to take his course, and I got to get ready for the bar, and I got to do all that stuff. He said, pray for me. I said, I'll pray for you, but suck it up. Well, I didn't say it that way. I said, don't be discouraged or... Let's just be honest. I did. I said, suck it up, all right? But what I meant to say was, be strong and courageous, and don't be dismayed. And suck it up. We laughed together. Hey, there's sometimes you just got to reach down to your boy and say, we're going to gut it out right here. Amen? You never raised a child if you didn't have to tell them that. God's going to get you to the other side, but we got to go. And it's we, because I'm here with you. I'm going to help you. My son, I'm praying, I'm encouraging. Your mama will be easy, but I ain't going to be easy. My son. My son. My son. So, well, Pastor, I don't have a boy. I understand. But you have a father. And the Heavenly Father wants you to be his son, to be his daughter. I met a gentleman out here in the foyer this morning. He bought one of my books, asked me to sign it. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, I've been reading, it's good. I said, thank you. He said, 11 o'clock, I'm going to be baptized today. I said, glory to God. He's about my age, I guess. I don't know why. He said, I'm beginning the journey, Pastor. I said, hallelujah. What he was saying is, he's my Father. He's my Father, and I'm taking the first step. I said, Pastor, I don't know if I know God or not. I told you about the guy I met who was my Uber driver in Detroit. He picked me up, took me over. I was preaching last week, Detroit, city of my birth. Oh, man, what a great place it was to be back in Detroit. Picked up this young boy, and he said, where are you from? You talk funny. I said, I'm from Alabama. He said, well, which one are you? I said, I'm an Alabama fan. He said, oh, yeah, it's where y'all steal all them football players and pay them. They drive all them big cars. He said, how'd y'all ever get Mark Ingram from up here in Ohio and Detroit? He said, y'all paid him off. I know how you did it. I said, well, we have a pretty good bank account. We really do. I said, we cheat with the best. We laughed. I said, well, how about you, Michigan State? And we began to talk. And then he finally asked the question. He said, what do you do? I said, I work for the NCAA and I'm in compliance department. He said, no. I said, no, I'm really not. I just kidding. I said, I'm a gospel preacher. He said, what kind are you? I said, I'm a gospel preacher. He said, yeah, but I mean Methodist or Episcopalian, Baptist, whatever. I said, I'm a Baptist. He said, I'm a Catholic. He said, I like you Baptist. He said, y'all feel it, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, I go to Catholic church. He said, all they want you to do is just go, I said, put your hands on the wheel. He grabbed the wheel. And he got real serious. And he said, you know, he said, really? He said, I've been Catholic all my life. He said, but they just don't want me to feel anything. He said, they just try to take all the emotion. They just want you to see it and be there. This is what his testimony, that's what he got out of it. I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm just saying what he said. And I said, well, son, let me tell you, you don't live by what you feel or you don't feel. You become God's child by faith. And I reached up, took him by and said, God loves you and he wants to make you his son. His son. Friend, I don't know who you are today, but I'm here to tell you God wants to make you his son, his daughter. I said, preacher, how's that happen? You put your hand in his hand, and he will save you.